And we're back live on your number one sports podcast, All Things Sports. I'm your co-host, Small Town EP, joined by your host, Wade Julian, and special guest for the evening, Big Kev. In the week where Aaron Donald retires, March Madness begins, we're back to give you the real in sports. Before that, we'll get to an NFL free agency update. It seems I may have jumped the gun on Justin Fields not going to Pittsburgh. I had to walk that take back because Justin Fields was traded to Pittsburgh. The Chicago Bears did make the move off of Justin Fields, as a lot of people, most of the sports world, was predicting. Sent him to Allegheny County days after Denver sends Russell to Pittsburgh. Days after Sam Howell is traded out of Washington. Correlation there being that both Justin Fields and Caleb Williams, you know, potential number one overall pick, were rumored to possibly end up in Washington. Caleb Williams was rumored because he is a hometown hero there in Washington. Was this trade the best move for Justin Fields, June?
Yeah, I think it was. Shout out to Bree. Shout out to Brew. You know, supporters of the show. Pittsburgh fans. Breeze told me in one of our group chats we have, he's like, yo, you guys got to spend a little more time on the Steelers. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just be going real quick with the Steelers. And, you know, for good reason, I'll say. But I will also say, deservedly so, they do get more than 2 minutes of shine today on this episode because they did make a good move here. And I think this is one of those moves that just, you know, works for both parties. They went and signed Russell Wilson to a one-year deal on a veteran deal, and they found their hopeful future quarterback, or they're hopeful that they found their future quarterback. And he's going to have a fair chance, I'm sure, to compete. I know that they say Russell Wilson will be the starter for the season, but at the end of the day, you're going to go through training camp, OTAs and all that, and you know, you'll make the best decision for the team. I think why it's such a good position for Fields to be in is because he has great coaches, especially, you know, starting at the top with Tomlin, a guy that, you know, understands where to put players in their best positions to succeed, a guy that wants to win, first of all, you know, is willing to do anything to win. So he's going to, you know, help his quarterback, have his quarterback's back. And the Steelers as an organization historically have had a good track record of, you know, success, just in regular season success in general, you know, staying over that 500 for the last however many seasons since Tomlin's got there. And I just think for Justin Fields, being in a tough division, right, being in a tough division where all of those defenses, when healthy, are can be elite. I'll say can be elite, minus the Bengals. I'll put him like just under elite, but he's going to have a good chance to really grow and get better and develop his game. So I'm happy for him. I think that the deal they made with trading a sixth round pick that can be a fourth round pick if he plays over 51% of his snaps just kind of puts the cherry on top, because they didn't even have to do too much to try to figure out a future problem that they might have. So big credit to the Steelers for getting Justin Fields. There were a couple other teams in the mix for Justin Fields. And I heard Ian Rappaport tweeted, you know, nowadays my sources is crazy. There's right now on Colts Twitter is a whole shebang going on with the L'Jarius Sneed, I guess, contract situation, trade situation that hasn't happened. Are the Colts talking to the Chiefs? Are the Colts even going to trade for him? Are the Chiefs even going to trade for him? Schefter saying no. Rossini saying yes. This guy saying no from the Colts. This guy from Twitter saying yes. It's just a whole bunch of hoopla that people are like sending death threats over each other to, because, you know, they wanted to claim sources. And at the end of the day, none of that is this serious. However, it's just crazy that we've come to a world of, you know, sports media where, you know, obviously, much like us, anybody can put a camera in their face and talk about it. However, it's like you know, wanting to be the guy or, you know, do something. It's like doing it for the gram kind of vibes, if you will. So none of that here. He said, we're going to give you the real in sports. He says that every week. And I just wanted to say, you know, he did decline going to another organization. I don't know which team that was, but he wanted to be in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wanted him. And typically speaking, when when the organization and the player feel mutual about each other and there's talent there, it can work out for the better. So we're going to have to see, but I would like to hear Kev's thoughts on Justin Fields going to Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah, I think the best place for Justin Fields, and I think I texted you both this in the group chat when I forget what happened exactly, but when they made the trade for Keenan Allen. I think I would have been excited to see that those three receivers together, because you have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, who are both very good in the slot or outside. And so that would have been dynamic with Marvin Harrison Jr. on the other side. And so that was something that I would like to see. So I thought Justin Fields' best possible team to be quarterback for next year would have been the Chicago Bears if they chose to go that route. Obviously, they don't see in Justin Fields what the Pittsburgh Steelers see in Justin Fields, I guess you could say. It's not a bad place for him to land, although I think he's in a very similar position right now as he was in Chicago, and that's with a team that doesn't have a very good offense. I thought Atlanta would have been an interesting team for him to go to because they have all the rookies there, and then they can load up and spend money that on the defensive side of the football with all the young talent that they have on the offensive side of the football. But I think it'll be good for him to maybe sit for a year behind Russell Wilson, kind of reset, and then, you know, go from there.
Yeah, I mean, you're good. What's up, June?
No, I was going to say, just to piggyback off of, like, Kev's point, as far as, like, best situation, you know, right now, yeah, I do get the sentiment that Pittsburgh's offense isn't necessarily the best. You know, George Pickens is young. They got rid of Deontay Johnson. They need to, you know, figure out some things as far as who's going to get most of the targets. Freiermuth, I'm a fan of his. I know we spoke on his name a couple weeks back, and Kev, if I'm not mistaken, Kev wasn't the biggest fan of Pat Freiermuth. However, there's a lot that, you know, went into their bad offensive play, and it starts at the quarterback position. Justin Fields being able to personally sit behind Russell Wilson, I think, is just going to be another boost for him. And this is something that the Pittsburgh Steelers are giving themselves time to, in my opinion, build on, you know, for years to come, because they do have a young offense with guys like Jalen Warren, Freiermuth, George Pickens, and now Justin Fields as a backup quarterback as it stands. So I see what you're saying as far as Chicago being the best fit for him, because right now, offensively, he'd have those weapons. But we're going to see a lot when they draft Caleb Williams, and he either comes into the NFL as the guy that we thought he would be, something close to that, or not what we thought at all, in a bad way. And so if he comes in and doesn't play well, we're just going to talk about Caleb Williams real quick. It has to be Chicago, right? It just has to be the franchise, and there has to be some sort of curse when it comes to the quarterback position. I'm rooting for them to have success at the quarterback position. I would like to see a historically great Chicago Bears starting quarterback one day. And so I think this will be a big tell if they can hit on Caleb Williams, or when they hit on Caleb Williams, if he can shine as we expect.
Yeah, this is a quarterback room that, in my opinion, has improved a lot at this point. I mean, if you combine Russell Wilson and Justin Fields' passing touchdowns the last last season combined, you would have to add up the last three seasons worth of Pittsburgh passing touchdowns, and it would only be six more passing touchdowns, 48 to 42. So this is a QB room that has gotten exponentially better at this point. If he wanted to be there and he declined offers from other people, maybe this was the news that he got, you know, prematurely when we saw the clip on, you know, on social media of him being, you know, super happy, doing little fake jukes in the kitchen and shit like that, right? Maybe he knew this was in the works, you know, the whole time. And then honestly, to be behind a quarterback like Russell Wilson, 26 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions just last season, you know, it adds value to where you are. If you have to sit a year or two, Russell Wilson's on a 1-year contract. Why not sit behind Russell Wilson for a year and learn behind that? Do you got something to say? No? We'll take it over to the Midwest, you know, a little more west. And the Chiefs sign Hollywood Brown on a 1-year, $7 million deal worth up to 11 with incentives. Kev, is Brown a true number one for Mahomes?
I love Marquise Brown. I think he's a really good receiver. I think he's going to be good for Patrick Mahomes, but no, he's not a number one receiver. I don't think he's a number one receiver. I think this is news because he signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think if he would have signed with the Giants, the same contract with the Seahawks, same contract. I don't think it's headlines. I don't think it's really big news because he's going to be, in all reality, Travis Kelce is their number one receiver. So they don't need necessarily an outside guy. Travis Kelce can go wherever he wants and he can run routes with the best of them. He can run with the best of them. So Travis Kelce is all in all, essentially their number one receiver. So Marquise Brown being there as the second option or third option, depending on what else comes of this offseason, with Rashee Rice as well, fitting into that number two role. I think it's a help for Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think it's like that number one receiver like Tyreek Hill was necessarily.
There's kind of talks that this could be something in a situation just like Tony, where you got a lot of speed and no hands, and it just adds to a wide receiver room that struggled last year, led the league in drop passes. June, do you think this is a similar, you know, situation as far as the comparison with a lot of speed, no hands?
I think Tony's a good receiver, and he struggled in New York, he struggled in Kansas City with drops. It's not nothing to play with. He does drop a lot of passes. You would say for the NFL standard of a wide receiver, he doesn't have great hands. Marquise Brown isn't in the same boat. I think he is a better wide receiver. I think that he is more of a sure hand. We could look at, you know, the stats or whatever and compare drops, but just watching them play, you know, throughout their careers and seeing what they've been able to do. Marquise Brown had a solid year last year. And I think what he did last year and how he's been able to maintain his career so far is a reason why Kansas City reached out to him. Obviously Kansas City is in need. You know what I mean? He's looking for a home, but you know, Kansas City is not going to just bring anybody in there. And I know that their wide receiver room looked a little bleak last year, and you could say Valdez, Scantling, Tony got, you know, but before Valdez-Scantling got to KC, I mean, we didn't know him as a guy who dropped passes, right? So what I'm thinking is maybe there's some sort of pressure, you know? This is a championship team you're joining, right? This is a championship aspiration organization year in, year out, and you're playing with the best player to possibly have ever played this game, and he's still in the beginning of his prime, right? So there's got to be a little bit of a mentality thing when you play with Patrick Mahomes and guys like Travis Kelce every day. However, to answer your question, no. I do think that, to Kev's point, if he did sign with the Giants or the Seahawks, the deal would have been greater. You know, he did take less money to be with Kansas City. And I think one of the things I like that he pointed out was, you know, why he took a pay cut is because he said when the Chiefs are interested in you, it's like, all right, you got to look at that. You know, of course, I can go get some money other places, but at the end of the day, it's about winning. And just to hear that is encouraging for a guy that's going to play with the Chiefs, because, listen, Marquise Brown might not have had such big of a market that I'm thinking. I'm sure there was more money out there for Marquise Brown to take. But to show that he's a veteran in this league and still cares about winning being the priority, getting to play with Kansas City in a great franchise that can possibly elevate his career, where he knows also he's going to put himself at the top of the depth chart, you know, in terms of the wide receiver. So he'll be competing with guys like Rashee Rice, you know, Sky Moore. And I would like my chances, you know, to be the number one guy if I'm in that locker room. So I think it's just something that works out for both sides, much like the Justin Fields thing. Marquise Brown is trying to kind of solidify his name in this league still. And with a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who better, right? So shout out to Marquise Brown. It's a Broward kid right there, right? And I would like to – I've said this off record, and just since we're talking about the Chiefs, I'm a Colts fan. If the Colts don't make the Super Bowl, I would like to see the Chiefs be the first NFL franchise to go three straight. Back to back to back. We've never seen it. And if we're going to talk about the Patriots being a dynasty, the Chiefs being a dynasty, this would be the best dynasty ever, hands down. So I know that the Patriots kind of did it twice, right? And so, but when you do something that's never been done, especially in this fashion, this is a tough league to win a championship in. I'm rooting for Kansas City this year. And clearly, wide receiver, as much of a issue as they had there, it wasn't an issue in the grand scheme of things. They were able to figure it out, put the team on Patrick Mahomes' back. Kelce was able to be, you know, who he was in the playoffs and get them through a regular season. I like this signing.
Andy Reid texts Hollywood Brown, says, Hollywood, think red today. KC red with diamond, signed Andy Reid. Hollywood Brown replies, yes, sir. Love the sound of that. Think Hollywood Brown. Lights, camera, action. Let's see if it's the first step to a back-to-back-to-back three-peat. I want to kick it over to the chat real quick. Cardi in the chat. ATS, nothing less. Let's cook y'all boys. Jay, of course, in the chat. Night Shift Lou. Jay did say... In reference to the Justin Fields trade, that Keenan Allen to the Bears gave the impression that they were going to keep Fields. I mean, again, Kev reference, you know, maybe he stays there and they build around him. That did look like a piece that was, you know, kind of going to have him stay. June, that was June. Is that what you're raising your hand? What are you saying?
No, I just would like to address the chat. One, hello, Cardi. Hello, Jay. Hello, Lou. I come in the chat. I'm like, ATS, nothing less. Let's cook y'all boys. Well, I love the energy. Jay, you know, Jason agreeing with me because I felt like Keenan Allen going to the Bears as well was going to keep Justin Fields in Chicago. But here we go, Cardi. Cardi. Okay. I read it wrong, and I read, so here we go with the Pat slander. I'm not standing for it. So, Cardi, I just want to address this. When we're talking NFL in 2024 and we say Pat, it's most likely going to be Patrick Mahomes. That's the guy that everybody's concerned with nowadays. It's not necessarily the Patriots. We don't really have the Patriots in our you know, in the front of our cerebral. So apologies that I misread it, and I was going to kind of come at you from an angle that would have been incorrect. Now that I've correctly addressed it, Pat slander, listen, screw the Patriots, okay? We're here for it all night, all right? And you might not have pulled up for that, but that's what you're getting, right? So listen, we'll just leave it there.
We waited 20 years for them to suck. They are going to get...
I'm saying, like, we had to listen to the Pats talk every day, but now we can't slander them a little. Or not even slander. It's crazy. I don't even know what I said about them.
I think you gave him credit. I think you were just saying,
I know exactly what he's saying. All I'm saying is if they three-peat, I don't want to hear nothing about no Pats. But go on, EP. I'm sorry.
Yo, shout out to the chat. We appreciate you.
My dog.
Tapped in. You already know. Earlier today, we get the news, Chase Young over to New Orleans. I didn't get the contract details in.
He's getting a $13 million a year. I think it was a $3 million deal, but they were questioning where the Saints are getting his money from. They got some it's a one-year deal, but it's fully guaranteed at 13. So, Yeah, they were wondering, like Kev was wondering about those Eagles, where this team, the Saints team, was getting $13 million when they got some money to go around. But you got to also keep into account Michael Thomas was cut. So they get a little bit of that. But, yeah, I just to kind of speak on it, Chase Young, we saw he was able to contribute with the 49ers late in the season and in the playoffs all the way to the Super Bowl, right, where they were giving Patrick Mahomes hell in that first half. He was a part of that. It's going to be interesting to see where he takes his career from now on. Is he going to be a, you know, fierce pass rusher that this league is afraid of, or is he going to be somebody that, you know, kind of just gets the job done and is going to be signing these, you know, lower deals with teams for a small amount of years? This is a number one pick overall a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken, 2019. So is that correct, Kevin? 2019 draft, Chase Young?
He was number two.
He was number two, sorry. 2019. And, you know, he's on his third team in less than 5-6 seasons. So I'm rooting for him. I think sitting behind Cam Jordan is going to be very vital to what he can do and how he can learn. But it's up to him, man. It's up to him. But all signs are pointing up that Chase Young is going to be able to capitalize on this contract and probably earn him some big money going into next year.
Hey, it's still one of those divisions that is wide open, as they say, with that in that division. Kev, you like this trade? You like Chase Young to New Orleans?
Yeah, I mean, I like the signing for them. It's a very winnable division. That the NFC South, even with the Kirk Cousins signing, I mean, we don't really know what that Falcons team is going to look like until we see him play. But I think that's something that it's just Derek Carr is weird to me because I expected him to be a lot better than he was last year. And so that's the big question is around quarterback. But as far as their defense, the Saints have always built kind of around that. Even when they had Drew Brees towards the end there, they relied on their defense mostly. So I like them bringing a guy like Chase Young in. I think the problem with Chase Young, he was rookie of the year his rookie year, and then was dealing with injuries the next couple of years, and finally had a healthy year last year, and we saw he was effective. So I think if he can stay healthy this year and, you know, show that he back-to-back seasons of him playing the full season and being effective, then I think next year he'll probably see more years on a nice little contract.
Boy, it went from that boy Kirk Cousins went from seeing Hutchinson to seeing Chase Young. Now it's like I can't really get away from these pass rushers. They don't. I'm gonna make my money, but they just don't want me to actually win. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. You know, that's a very interesting thing. Look, let's kick it over to college basketball. March Madness is here, full effect. Whew. Selection Sunday was yesterday, and the four number one seeds were named. Houston, North Carolina, I had to say under my breath, Purdue, and UConn. Kev, who do you think is going to be the first number one seed to fall? Or I should say, which number one seed is most likely to fall before the Sweet 16? You're on mute.
I am. Do my best not to do that. So before the Sweet 16, it's tough because I mean I could easily see all of them making it to the Sweet 16, but if I do have to choose one, I will make you both happy and go with North Carolina because I could see Michigan State knocking them out in the round of 32.
It's funny that you mentioned North Carolina before you say anything, June. Because I think the fact that Arizona is number two in that same region, having Caleb Love on their team now, they may end up seeing each other around the Sweet 16. Caleb Love playing, you know, his old head coach.
That would be interesting.
That would be an interesting matchup right there. June, who you got?
I mean, I don't want to steal yours, but I'm going to have to because it's truly what I got. And I don't even know yours, but I wanted to say Houston because I do see Texas A&M beating Nebraska and then possibly having them Houston, you know, just play it in their conference championship game and got blown out, like blown out of the water, you know. And so that either is going to have awakened them to where they understand they can never get embarrassed like that again, or that just kind of shows you where they're at right now. I think it just kind of is going to wake them up. You know, I don't think that's the Houston team we're going to see in the tournament. Therefore, I'm going UConn. I do think UConn has a great season, right? But we see FAU right there at that 8 seed, man. And we saw what FAU was able to do last year, right? Put on Final Four. Rocking with South Florida, man.
And FAU did have an impressive win at Arizona earlier in the season.
They did. They did. I'm going to go with a different number one. I think if a number one is to fall before the Sweet 16, as efficient as Zach Edey and them boys are in Purdue, I just they can't guard a pick and roll to save their life, man. This man Zach Edey can ball on the offensive end, but his defensive presence, as far as specifically pick and roll, because in the paint he is a factor to be reckoned with. But if you bring him out and you know you're running your options, you're running your schemes, it's tough. Them losing 2 years ago to St. Peter's, losing last year to Folly Dickinson, I mean, maybe there's something in the water up there in Purdue, and you know they're good in the regular season, they're blowing out non-conference teams, and you know they get to the tournament.
Yeah, we've seen it.
Could be a little ugly. So I'm going to take Purdue if any of them to fall. I love that you mentioned FAU, June, because the number 8 Florida Atlantic University Owls play the number 9 Northwestern Wildcats. They have won 5 out of the last 7, them being FAU. Will the Owls be able to make another Final Four run, June?
I do think so. And that kind of just goes back to my last point where there is a world where FAU can beat UConn. You know what I'm saying? In the round of 32. And if we look at this whole bracket here, you know, North Carolina was predicted to possibly get upset by Kev over there, right? In that Western region. Their number 2 in the Western region is Arizona. Kev also just pointed out that they have an impressive win against them in the regular season. It's all signs are pointing toward the Final Four for FAU is what I'm saying. And do I think it truly, truly happens? No. But but I do think they can find themselves back in the Final Four. It's college basketball. You can never put it past anything. At the end of the day. Secondly, I like their chances based on them being in the East and then them having to play the West region.
I mean,
I will say Baylor in the West region. You know what I'm saying? But I know what y'all are going to say, but just let me rock. Just let me rock.
Kev, let me rock. What do you think about the home team being in there and going back to the Final Four possibly this year?
So when it comes to home teams, I say it all the time for the Heat. You got to have the guts. And so I got FAU getting to the Final Four, beating Arizona in the Final Four.
Oh, my goodness.
Getting to the national championship where they should have been last year. And we'll save my predictions if it comes true at that time.
I like that. That's confidence, man. And just to further my point with FAU, I understand they're in the East region and they have to play more so guys like Iowa State, Auburn possibly. But this is a winnable bracket. This is a winnable region here. And then when they get to the West, or when they have to play the West in the Final Four, that's where if Baylor's out there, it's going to be a little worrisome. But North Carolina possibly gets bounced. I also think they're a beatable team. Arizona, I like their odds. So, yeah, I mean, them getting to the national championship, it sounds crazy, but it's not the craziest thing. They're a good basketball team at the end of the day.
It was, I mean, Butler went to back-to-back national championship games. Nobody expected Butler to do that.
They lost to Duke, by the way, in the national. I know you know. I'm just reminding you.
They did. It was about this close to the left for Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, and Gordon Hayward was this close to being as good as we thought he would be.
I don't know, man. I just think FAU, they're not playing defense this year. They've been allowing way too
many. Brad Stevens was this close to winning a championship with the – he was more so this close to winning a championship with the Celtics. Sorry, E.
Yeah, I don't see FAU getting past UConn. I can see UConn going back to – once again, well, not once again, but going back to back, it's a tough region. They just 73 points a game is alarming. You know what I mean? And I can't get past that. Junior, I'm mute.
I get it. Pump the brakes, right? I get it. Kev is like all in, have the guts. I'm like, you know, pipe dream. If UConn were to get eliminated by FAU in the round of 32, I can see them advancing to the. But I also understand what you're saying as far as UConn having, you know, as good of a season as they had, and just being the better team, the much better team. You know what I mean? It's not like it's gonna be one of those like they've already made it to the Elite Eight or the Final Four, and now it's two good teams with momentum going into this. Is a round of 32 matchup if both teams do their job in the round of 64, and at this point, UConn likely, you know, is going to be more so, I can't even say ready. I got to say UConn is going to be the better team that night.
Kevin, final thoughts on FAU?
FAU to the national championship game.
Let's,
I don't hate on it.
The only ship I go down with is the home team. So...
Yeah, that boy Kev, word to OT the real. He said, I'm jumping first like a false start for the home team. You heard? We will take it over to a familiar fan base of ours, ours being me and June. A year ago today, Duke lost in the second round of the tournament to then number 4 seed Tennessee. Coming off a quarterfinal loss in the ACC tournament to NC State, what deficiencies does Duke need to address in the tournament to avoid an early exit, June?
I'm muted. Right. Man, it's a disappointing question. You know, everybody's averaging double figures, right? Filipowski's playing, you know, the ball we thought he would play. He could be playing better, I will say. So I think it starts at the top when your best player isn't giving you 20 points a night, I think it's going to be tough at the end of the day. In this day and age is basketball, you know, you're getting 14, 13 from your other, you know, from your guard and your wing. Like, offense just has to be there more. It just has to be there. And I think it's one of those things where it's not a coaching thing. I don't know that we're good enough. I just don't know that we're good enough. So it's not that like we're having so many deficiencies in my eyes, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong where you see it differently. I'd love to hear your perspective, but I don't think this Duke team is good enough. Like, I'm looking at it, and we're talking about Brandon Ingram, Jahlil Okafor, Jabari Parker, Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, that's one team, to Jason Tatum, to Paolo Banchero, and the best player on this team is Kyle Filipowski, and it's no disrespect to him. Jeremy Roach, great player. But when those two guys are the one and two option and neither of them are getting you 20 points a game, we're used to the top five draft pick one and done guy. Where is he, you know? And so it's more so that's Duke's problem. They don't have that guy on the team. And, you know, they could obviously a team could get hot and you could have a great tournament at the 3-point line, right? Duke could just come out and threes is their thing this tournament, and that's what won it for them. But at the end of the day, you need a guy to get you a bucket, right? There's got to be a guy on your team. You can't, you know, college basketball, you're swinging the ball all game, you're shooting, finding an open shot. But when it comes down to, as we saw last year in the Final Four and with FAU and their guard being able to make a lot of good plays for them, when it comes down to crunch time, last 3 minutes, and you're down four, you remember, what was it, K-State? They had that guard, point guard, K-State. You got to have somebody that could just go. And not to say Kyle can't go out and make a bucket or get you a bucket, because he sure can. But consistently, possession by possession, you know, he's not somebody that's handling the ball, you know, and creating off the dribble as a guy like, you know, formerly Brandon Ingram would. So that's more so my issue with Duke. Every team has their deficiencies, and nobody's going to be perfect for the tournament. However, when you got a guy you can actually believe in to lead you, that makes a lot of difference.
Kev?
I mean, yeah, I think June's right. Like, I don't think Duke is really there this year. I don't think they have that guy that you can go to down the stretch. Like, I think that's what all these teams, even we talk about, I know he's with the Heat now, so it's probably a little biased, but even those UCLA teams that went to the Final Four with Johnny Juzang and Jaime Jaquez, they had those guys that you give the ball to Jaquez in the post and let him go to work, and that was their strength. I don't really watch this Duke team and know, like, if I watch them on several occasions, I don't really know what is their identity. Like, what do they do well to where it's like, this is how we want to play the game. So I think that's the biggest issue with them this year, is they don't have a real identity when they go out and play. Like, who is this team? Are they going to go out and score people? Are they going to go out and bully people? I couldn't tell you, because by watching them, the few times that I watched them this year, I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah, it's really frustrating as a Duke fan to see this season unfold. And not to say it's a horrible season. I mean, again, we're in the big dance, 24.
Right, we're eight. Four seed in the dance.
Like, absolutely. 13 seed overall nationally, you know,
but ranked. You know, eight loss season.
Eight loss
Six
season.
Losses in the conference.
Second in the ACC. I mean, you have a heartbreaking loss early on in the season to Arizona. You go to Georgia Tech and get slapped in the mouth in the first half, try to mount a comeback in the second half. Doesn't work out for you. I watched that game live. That was frustrating. That was a game where Mitchell had the tech at the end after we go up, and it just kind of went downhill from there. You look at someone like Kyle Filipowski, who's highest, again, he's averaging double figures, highest scoring game being the second game in Cameron Indoor against Georgia Tech, where he scores 30, season high. I mean, his other high scoring game was against Hofstra, where he scored 28. It just seems very complacent and seems like you're not up for it until you already got slapped in the mouth once, compared to a Duke team that we grew up watching where we're the ones doing the slapping, all right? Like, we're the ones open palm, yeah. You know what I'm saying, walking in your gym, walking out with a dub, cutting down nets 2 times in 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's the shit that we're used to. So it's very frustrating. I mean, I even texted June, you know, off air when I think the day after the Carolina game had just passed that we lost, and Krzyzewski was in the crowd and he had the Krzyzewski look on, like the just
sick
to my stomach, fam. Just sick, serious face and all. That's one of those times where, those rare times that me and June might have seen once or twice, or, you know, maybe 3 times, where it's a really bad game and he's just not even coaching anymore. He's just sitting there like, y'all do what y'all want, apparently. So
yeah.
What am I going
to
do about it? Shout out to Coach K, man. Thank you. But it's definitely very frustrating to see this season unfold the way that it unfolded, and just getting swept by Carolina, I think, was the real, like, dagger in the heart. And then losing to NC State in the quarterfinal of the ACC tournament is just, what are we doing here?
It could also be one of those Duke seasons that just turns out magical, you know? So I'm going to keep hope. I'm going to be positive. I will be rooting for us in the tournament. I,
1,000%. You know,
was on, I was watching the game at home and I was on my way to a bar and we were coming back and Tennessee was just doing too much. Couldn't come back. And so, but I'm still always going to be hopeful and I'm going to root. It's just, you know, when we're looking at it on a bird's eye view, pre-tournament preview is still, you got to be honest about it. And, you know, expecting like Duke to win this is also, you know, it's not responsible. They're a four seed. As we said, four seed, it's not a horrible season. We're not used to being a four seed. We were one or two seed. So what were you going to say?
We have, you were telling me, and I, you know, was looking at it. We got Vermont Friday in the Barclays Center. We're in the South region. Number 13 Vermont versus number 4 Duke.
No, we do our thing against Vermont. Like, I don't have a worry in my bone about losing to Vermont in the first round. Like, no, there's no chance. However, I think this will be good for the team to get their, you know, tournament play. First of all, we're coming off of, like you said, quarterfinal loss to NC State. What? Quarterfinal loss to NC State? Okay, Vermont, it's nothing personal. This is us. Just let us do our thing real quick because we can't go out again. You lose to NC State and then you lose to Vermont in the first round. That might be Coach Shire's job, which it wouldn't. I'm being silly. But, like, it can't happen. It can't happen. There's no world where that happens. And so, that being said, shout out to Duke. We will be fighting. We will be fighting. Shout out to Cardi, too. He said, watch your goddamn mouth.
Oh, man. I forgot who it was in the chat. I said, let's talk hockey a couple weeks ago. But, hey, man, let's talk some hockey.
Christian, shout out to Christian.
Shout out to Christian Duarte. That's who it was.
That's fair.
Facts. Washington Capitals are 6-4 in the last 10 games and are hunting down a wild card spot. Alex Ovechkin, a very favorable person to June in his heart, is fighting right now with his team for a wild card position. Can the Capitals capitalize, June? They're a point out of the wild card right now.
Yeah. I mean, it starts tonight, right? It starts tonight. I think you got something to say about that one, too. So, listen, the Capitals, they got the Calgary Flames tonight. And if they win, they move into the second and final wild card spot. Obviously, there's still a little bit of time left. But, you know, a couple of the teams that needed to lose for them to it's been working out. And tonight's the night. So, we're big on Capitals pushing for that last playoff spot and possibly going into the sixth the first wild card spot or even higher, which is not as likely, but it is possible. What I love is that they had like a 5% chance to make the Stanley Cup playoffs about a couple weeks ago. And right now it's at a 57.3. So, one more stat I got for the Capitals is that over his last five starts, Charlie Lindgren, has a record of 4-1-0 with a 1.20 goals against average and a 9.59 save percentage. And if you don't know what that means, if you don't, I'm not even the biggest hockey guy.
But in the hockey world, they call it standing on your
goal against average and a 9.59 save percentage in your last five starts. Who's scoring on him right now? That means he is seeing the puck. So we listen, the Capitals tonight getting into the playoffs. Listen, I'm a Panthers fan. Obviously, I support the home team, but my first team was definitely Alex Ovechkin's team. It was the Panthers and Alex Ovechkin, right? It was like some NBA fans. I guess I could see it from this perspective when I look at it, me looking into hockey. But you know, the guys are like, yo, I'm a LeBron fan. Like, I'm a Melo fan. I like wherever Melo plays. And granted, Ovechkin's been with the Capitals since 2004, right? So it hasn't been no, I'm a Ovechkin fan where we're going. Nah, I support the Capitals, right? I like when they win. I like watching Alex Ovechkin get the covers of NHL. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up on that.
Facts.
But at the same time, I am from Broward County. We have a hockey team playing in our city. I got to support that. So I am a Panthers fan by way of representing the Capitals, you know, through Ovechkin. And look, if anybody could do it, Ovechkin can do it.
Ovi.
And I still think he has an impact on this playoff hunt. And if they make the playoffs, can the Capitals capitalize, like you said?
I think that they can. I think that they will be in the playoffs. I do think that they pull off the road upset this evening in Calgary. The game, puck is about to drop right now. The shit might be live, low-key, and I just don't even know it yet. But the puck's about to drop. It's 8:30 Eastern Standard Time drop. It is about to drop. They're in a face-off. Take the plus 115, plus 120 today. Capitals money line. That's the pod pick of the evening. That's what I'm on. 4 units. Let's talk about it. Listen, we talked about football. We talked about college basketball.
He threw that in there real smooth, though. Hold on, Kevin. He said 4 units. Anyways, we talked about let's just slow down. Hold on. Okay.
Oh, man.
I'm a little more comfortable with my bet now. Look, puck is about to drop as we speak right now. Cap starting to, you know what I'm saying, starting with possession in Calgary. Let's get it. I'm hyped. Is this what putting your money on hockey playoff race like hockey is about? Oh,
you know
shoot.
What I'm saying?
I was at my crib the other night, and Marlon, shout out to Marlon, he was there. Oof. Listen, two couple losses back-to-back with friends I was with. Marlon lost some bread on the, I think it was the Winnipeg Jets game when they were playing the Seattle Kraken, and they scored with a minute left, maybe, or so. Put it away. Oof. Tough. But Andre, as well, lost to we were at the game, and he put a ban. You know what I'm saying? He put a ban on it. Sheesh. But, I mean, that's the way it goes. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a ban on the Capitals tonight, but I was confident with the less risk, more profit. You know what I'm saying? ATS, better than night. Capitals money line 909. Shout out to 909, right? Like,
feel me? All y'all, facts. We made our rounds, and we will end off in the NBA. It's that time of the season. Word to Jimmy Butler. Since he said that on February 24th, the Heat are 6-5, one game over 500. June corrected me earlier off.
Hey. Can I real quick?
Yeah. I'm gonna kick it over to June for today's heat check. He's gonna kick it over to Kev when he's done.
All right. EP texts me, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, yo, today. He's like, yo, and I appreciate EP for being a sport about this right now. It's like, he's like, yo, Heat 4-5 since Jimmy made them comments, bro, about it's that time. I'm like, nah, hold on. We don't won a couple games. All right, you know what? What's annoying about the media is that they were quick to say the Heat are 4-5 just 4 days ago since Jimmy Butler had that altercation in New Orleans. Okay. But they failed to, like, congratulate the Heat when they were 4-1 since Jimmy said it's that time. And we lost 3 straight games. It happens to teams all the time. EP pointed out a real, you know what I'm saying? He just said some real stuff, man. He said, the love is never as loud as the hate, man. And I said, you're right. You know what? And it don't have to be. But the facts is always going to outweigh the opinions. So the media doesn't necessarily like talking about the Heat all the time. They like to wait till they heat up, no pun intended. And when it's all a surprise, like it doesn't happen almost every year. That's the crazy part. Yeah, I just thought it was funny. So we could talk about the Heat. I just really think it's so funny how they try to, now Jimmy Butler's in the news because couple games ago, he was talking his shit, and we done won four straight almost games. But they want to, you know what I'm saying, talk about the three straight losses. But, yeah, we play at Philly tonight. Kev, how you feeling about this? I'm not really tuned in. I heard Bam hit a three. You know, I'm seeing clips. Oubre looks like he's having a good game. But I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure if you're able to tune in because we are live. Shout out to us for being here. But do you have anything on that?
Yeah, down two at the half. If you're watching on YouTube and you see my eyes have been darting the whole time, it's because I got the game on in the corner. So I've been, you know, going back and forth between watching and, you know, looking at you guys.
Hey, great multitask.
But Bam did hit another three. He's shooting 100% in four games. So shout out to Bam. If he takes that next step, and if he really starts shooting that, even to where he's shooting like three times a game and making one, shooting 33% from three, I'll take it. And it opens up a lot more for the offense. So I love Bam he's been stepping out beyond the three-point line and shooting it. The one yesterday obviously was kind of just a need to get it up, and he got it up and it went in and won the game. So even better. But I think Bam I think last time we talked about it, I said I think he's playing hurt, and it wasn't an injury that was debilitating, but obviously you're going out there, it's towards the end of the season, everybody's beat up. But he had just taken I forget exactly what happened, but it was a couple weeks ago where it looked like he maybe aggravated something, and he played through it. And I think he's slowly getting healthier and healthier, and I think he's only going to get better as we go into the playoffs. Right now, it's really a question of when is Tyler Hero going to get back, because this offense looks like there's times where they could use a 40% three-point shooter. So Tyler Hero definitely needs to get back. Kevin Love has been another big piece that we've been missing. So to June's point, there's a lot of the hate on Miami, even though every one of those reporters would love to Miami to make the finals so that they could come to Miami. But they like to talk about Miami when they're down and not really talk about Miami when they're up. And we've been missing Kevin Love. We've been missing Tyler Hero. And none of that matters because we always have enough, and we always manage to keep afloat until we manage to get everybody back healthy. And that's what they're doing right now. Jimmy's out tonight again. So
teams, very important game tonight.
Yeah. Very important. They, you know, a win tonight secures the tiebreaker with Philly. They'd be they'd move to 3-0 against Philadelphia on the season. So they would get the tiebreaker, which right now they have the same record as the 76ers. So very important tiebreaker. That is fire. I did not see that, but that's funny.
That was posted to Tyler Hero's mood board, apparently. Wonder did it on Instagram.
They
said his mood board. So maybe his mood board IG. So maybe that's like his little.
Yeah, that's like.
I don't know if it's fan. I don't know if it's.
No, it's him.
His like little, you know, little side. I mean, listen, Tyler, we just want you back, bro. I mean, Kev's talking about sometimes we could use it for. We could always use Tyler Hero on this team, and that's what other people don't agree with as much. I'm not saying how to use Tyler Hero at this point. I do like Duncan Robinson as the starting two on this team until the wheels fall off. That's my take. Tyler Hero can come off the bench. He's already used to that. He's done his best in that position. It only makes sense. Spo, you know, can be stubborn, or to what we think is stubborn. I mean, he's the coach, right? Like, we're the ones always praising how good of a coach he is. So sometimes we question him, and it's just like, I mean, I get it, but. And so, yeah, we could definitely use Tyler Hero's 20-something points a game and 40% from the three. Kevin Love, I think, is probably taking it slow right now. And as important as it is for him to, you know, be out here, I think it's more important to make sure he's just fully healthy to where nothing is, you know, you're threatening tweaking something because of how much we needed him versus Philly tonight. Because, like Kev said, we got enough, and we got to figure it out. Philly is not Denver, right? That's a more important game, or not important in the sense of playoff race, but important to see where you match up against a great team. However, you know, Kevin Love, Philly doesn't have Embiid, and Kevin Love doesn't have to play for us to beat Philadelphia. So I just want to see that, man. And I like that DeLon Wright is now, you know, seeing some more burn. My thing I want to ask you, Kev, is Nikola Jovic, right? Like, we've seen games where he starts. Mind you, I got to bring up a tweet that I saw. It's a Duncan Robinson tweet, and I have to say it. But Nikola Jovic, there's been, like, the games where we're like, yo, start Jovic at the four. Start Jovic at the four. That's the answer. We figured it out. And then there's games where it's like, all right, well, it's not necessarily his fault tonight only, but some games where we really losing. Losing, and it's him at the four. So how do you feel about him at the four? Should he start? Should he come off the bench? What do you see?
So I think he's kind of solidified his role as the starter, whether that's getting big minutes or not. And I think Spo's kind of playing with that part of it, tinkering with his minutes. You see there's games where he plays the first quarter, he'll play the first 6 minutes, come out and play the next 7 minutes of the third quarter and then not get another minute throughout the rest of the game. So if he's got it going and he's playing well, I think on both ends, then I think Spo's more inclined to leave him in. But if they're just getting run out the gym and he's contributing to the fact that points are getting scored and things like that, then I think Spo's always going to go with the best matchup out there. And I think I think he's at a point right now with Patty Mills and DeLon Wright. It's like, all right, we got to find some sort of rotation where we're effective. And I think that's also a part. We talked about March with the Heat last time I was on and how it's very just, it's 500 basketball that they play. And I think that's a big part of it. I think Spo tinkers with the rotations at this time of the year and wants to really zero in on what works. And so I think that's what uses this time of year. With the full roster intact, and the full roster there. Now you got Terry, you got the three new point guards who are all going to, you know, contribute things to this team. And what's the most effective way that I can run this team out there? So you're experienced with different lineups. They're getting used to each other. And I think that's why you usually see this in March. The Heat are usually a buyout kind of team. Somebody, they're going to go out and get somebody who was bought out that's going to contribute to the rotation. So they usually use this time, I think, to kind of throw different lineups out there, and maybe certain guys aren't used to playing with one another, but just find what works and what works going into the playoffs.
June, you had that Duncan tweet you wanted to go over?
Thank you. It's funny. I'm not going to, you know, you can't read it here, but it says, meet Start Me Man. Take a backseat to Tyler Hero? No. Take your team to more W's? Check mark. Settle for reserve role, confident off the bench? No. Streets call me Dunkyard Dog? Pissed off emoji. Check mark. Give me freedom. Give me fire. Give me the starting spot or I retire. 45% from three. Plus minus is up. Your offensive rating? Rocket emoji. Flaming hot Cheetos. Blowing smoke emoji. Meet Start Me Man. And it's just, listen, Duncan Robinson has been the guy for the Miami Heat that's taken him out of tough situations time after time. And this year he's showing that he can be the guy in a game at times. We find a way to win with Dunk. 5 years, $90 million at $18 million a year. People were telling me it was a horrible contract, and we're talking about a top five. No matter how much you like or hate him, you can't say he's not a top five three-point shooter. I think he's way higher, but he's not a top five three-point shooter at 18 a year, playing big minutes, having a big role.
And adding more than just the three to his game now.
Bro, he hit the little – once you put that dribble move this season, it's over. It's over. You can't guard Duncan Robinson because, one, the three-point shot is so crazy that the moves are going to come easier. Like, all he has to do is a pump fake, and he's going to dribble blow by you. Because you have to hesitate. It's Duncan Robinson. What are we talking about? But he's also 6'8", 6'9", and can get to the rim. And obviously, he's not like crazy finisher at the rim. I'm not dragging it. But he does get to the rim, and he does create for Bam. And him and Bam's relationship is one of the best, if not the best, on the team. The dribble handoff, the pick and roll at times with Duncan Robinson. I dragged it. But when they do get the opportunity to do a pick and roll, it'll be there. And their inside game, I think that Duncan and Bam around the rim are comfortable with each other. So I'm confident in Duncan Robinson. I've always thought the $18 million a year was a great deal for us. Not like we put ourselves in the best position, but it's Duncan Robinson. He made his name off of shooting three-pointers. You have to pay him as such. And so Spo is always going to be good enough to find defense to help that, you know, and put guys around him to eliminate the just bully ball. And he's also had to grow up on the court. He's had his moments, right? Duncan Robinson still is like, you're still scared when you see him out there on the island a little, you know, like Jaylen Brown, like, oh, brother. But you sacrifice that part for the big shots that he can hit and the offense and space he creates and has gotten better creating ever since he's come into the league. You mentioned adding to his game. It's been consistently upward for Duncan Robinson until he hit that point where he struggled like 2021 season after the bubble and maybe a little bit into 2022. And then Strus kind of was also a – bro, everything – they chose him, you know. Everything is here for Duncan Robinson to succeed, and this is what we're seeing.
Yeah, just – you said when Duncan Robinson is defending Jaylen Brown, Jaylen Brown strikes no fear in Duncan Robinson's heart.
I'm not saying he does, but we've seen possessions with Jaylen Brown as Cook Duncan Robinson. I gotta keep it a stack. It was a bad example to use because of how much I respect Duncan Robinson, and I should have brought up somebody else. So, yeah, you're right.
I want to kick it over to the chat. Frank Blanco saying "Dem boys," and I'm gonna kick it over to EP's EPL corner before we wrap this show up right now. Whew, Nottingham Forest, man.
I like that.
Yeah, right? Nottingham Forest deducted 4 points for financial rules breach. Seems like they didn't report all the money that they were giving to some of their new signees this past offseason. Those 4 points that were deducted, this is the second time that points were deducted from a team in the English Premier League this season. Everton had it happen to them earlier this season. They dropped 6 points. It was later changed to 4 after, you know, yeah, it figured out some stuff. It was changed from 6 to 4. Nottingham Forest gets 4, puts them in 18th place. That's relegation territory. Last three teams.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, what are we talking about 18th place for? Like, damn, we talking about 18th place over there?
18, 19, and 20. If you finish between those three places in the English Premier, you are demoted to Championship League, which is second league. You're still a pro. You're still getting paid, but it's not as glamorous.
Yeah, I'm crying.
The stadiums aren't as nice. Shit, like a spirit flight, bro.
So they're doing the Philadelphia Eagles thing.
Yeah, they got hit. That's they crazy. Got hit with a deduction. It sucks, but you got to follow the rules. And I'm not saying that you
have to. We talked about it.
Yeah, I don't
say that one team that play in the backyard.
Hey, you know what's funny about that? The one
they got promoted.
The ones now playing in the backyard is seven. You know, switch places with them essentially. now they're hopefully gonna stay in the English Premier League. Maybe they'll get some bread and they can revamp their backyard stadium. They should make a little kids soccer game based off of their team. But hey, Nottingham Forest, get it together. You know, if you get relegated, then I mean, it is what it is. You're not really that good anyway. So like, who really cares, right? Champions League will resume April 9th. Arsenal will take on Bayern Munich, and Los Blancos will take on, and Los Blancos being Real Madrid, will take on Manchester City in the first legs. And in the second legs, Barcelona will take on PSG. Borussia Dortmund will take on Atletico Madrid. But again, that is next month. I want to wrap up EP's EPL corner by congratulating June, because it seems he has a new favorite soccer team, and it's Manchester United. I'll let him divulge those details if he wants to divulge those details, up to him. But Manchester United, they are in the top 10 of the table right now in the EPL. They are going to a semifinal in the FA Cup coming up very shortly. They are fighting for top five position, hopefully Champions League position for next season. They are the only team in the top 10 in the table that have a zero goal differential. There are two teams in the top 10 that have a negative goal differential, being in West Ham and Wolves. Both those teams historically not good, playing over their heads, barely finishing the top 15 last year. So, I mean, it's expected they will probably stay in the EPL more than likely, but, you know, they'll be in the 15th percentile, 15th place, 14th place again next year. That is my prediction.
They're risking it. They're over there teetering. They're teetering the line. I mean,
yesterday, though.
Shout
out to that game yesterday, though. The Manchester United.
Liverpool. I heard it was one of the worst 3-3 matches, you know, and I couldn't tell you why.
It was.
But listen, Manchester United is a squad now. Let's just say Shorty got family and it's Manchester. She rocked with Manchester. We rocking with Manchester.
Money, as they say it.
We know it's a historically great organization, right? Shout out to Cristiano Ronaldo, right? Shout out to Paul Pogba. Even still, with the allegations or what are facts, I don't know. Shout out to Paul Pogba because he's a reason I also like soccer. So, you know, plenty more EP if you'd like to name some of the historic players that come through the U, but you don't have to. 100%. I am now rocking with him. And I'll do some more research. Next week on EP's EPL, maybe this Thursday. It might be Monday, but maybe this Thursday. I'm going to hit you with something about that man, you.
Yeah, next thing you know, we're going to see June up on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m.
Hey, that's a little early. I'm not going to lie. If I do, right? Saturday mornings is a college football time, right? However, different seasons, right? And, well, soccer is like year-round. I got to figure that part out, too. During college football season, I'm not watching English Premier League on Saturday. I'll tell you right now. However, during non-college football season, Saturday mornings might go to NBC Sports, and I might start catching the matches for Man U. I'm not saying I will. I said I might, and so I guess that leaves us there.
Let's go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Before we wrap this up, I do want to say shout out. I do have a shout out, E. And so, Kev, while I'm doing this shout out, we cannot end on my shout out specifically today. You have to give a shout out after me, EP, if you have one. You know what I'm saying? Wrap it up with that.
If it's not the one that you're about to give, then I will. If not, then I don't got it.
Listen, Joe Torre, right? Yankees manager. He's 83 years old. He started managing the Yankees in like 1930. I think Babe Ruth's rookie year. No, I'm kidding. But
that's crazy.
Nah, he started managing the Yankees in 96 to 2007, right? And so it's been a while. He is a 9-time All-Star, 4-time World Series champion, 9-time All-Star. We're talking about as a player, as a manager with the Yankees, 4 World Series championships in that era. He came out to change the pitcher, Carlos Rodon, who threw a no-hitter in like 5 innings and 1 2/3. That's not the shout-out. The shout-out is getting to see, you know what I'm saying, in Tampa, spring training, Joe Torre walking out, you know, to the mound, whether it's one last time or, you know, it was just really cool seeing, because I'm looking at the highlight, I'm like, oh, that's Joe Torre. Like, all right, man, you got to give it up for what he did and what he made of the Yankees, right? So credit there.
Yeah, I think we could end it right there. That was great.
Yeah. No, that's why I said you have to say something.
You have to give a shout out.
I don't know if Kev's not dragging it or if he doesn't know. If you don't know, Kev, and whether you think you know, I'm still going to tell you because I've never told you this. We do not end the podcast with any Yankees news. So
no, I know.
Now we have to change the subject.
That's why I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, get the fuck out of here. How about that? Change the subject, and then we go to the podcast. I have another shout out if you guys are a little nervous.
I got the shout out. Kev's not really the shout out guy.
No, I got it. I could give a shout out.
Okay, what's the shout out?
I just really wanted to end with June complimenting.
It's not happening. Well, it ain't happening, so quit asking. Where the Knicks at?
I can give a shout out. Shout out WWE today just announced that Bray Wyatt will have a documentary coming out soon. So rest in peace, Bray Wyatt. And I'm looking
forward. We'll have a what?
A documentary on
wow,
Bray Wyatt.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Rest in peace. Fact. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm. Listen. Netflix signing with WWE or WWE signing with Netflix. Best thing that they ever did because. Now I'll start watching it again. I just didn't really want to go out of my way and like plan and shit. But now if I can just go to Netflix and watch it, listen, WWE, best thing that you ever did was do that at this point in my adult 30-year life. And I'm not gonna lie, the babies on WWE right now look. But that's neither here nor there. I will
time to get back into wrestling.
I will piggyback off of June. And I didn't want to talk baseball because I looked at my fucking phone the other day and it was like 12-0 in like the third inning spring training Yankees versus Red Sox. And I was like, fuck me, bro. I just didn't. The game ended 12-9, but the 12-0, oh, it was like 9-0 at one point. I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on?
So are we ending it on the 12-9 Red Sox?
No, we're not. Shout out to HD Broward County. You got your win in that bare knuckle fighting, and you know you stood on bitterness.
Thanks.
So shout out to you, more blessings, more wins, more everything. Keep putting on for the city because at the end of the day, we love you. 1,000
for sure,
that's ladies good. And gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. As we pass the hour 11 mark, this has been your Monday evening. NCAA basketball selection Sunday episode. If you tuned in on the live, shout out to everybody out that was in there. We appreciate you. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you were here with us on this beautiful evening. If you're tuned in after the fact on all your streaming platforms, whether it's Spotify, YouTube, motherfucking SoundCloud, motherfucking, it don't matter. We appreciate you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules and your everyday lives to tap in with us and the real in sports. We'll see y'all on Thursday.